You excited to be here? You know, I'm fairly busting out because this is a great thing. I spent, you know, last month meditating on this subject. It's one of my favorite subjects when talking about my Lord. And I'm fairly busting to let it out. Tell you what, I think I'll meet most of you in heaven. When you get there, if you find that there's a guy running amok going around, hey, hey, we're here. Don't worry, it's just me. I'm busting out. So, we're here today. Front page of this gives us an idea that this is a special Sunday. It's called Palm Sunday, otherwise also known as Passion Week. It marks the beginning of a week of tremendous things that happen on planet Earth that makes a big difference to history and to all of us. The Jews remember on Passover week the events that led up to the end of 400 years of slavery, liberation from Egyptian oppression. And many of them would be cleaning up their houses, preparing everything in their houses. And those who could afford it would go to Jerusalem, celebrate, and eat the Passover. Now, Jesus and his disciples were also Jews, and they also went to Jerusalem on that fateful Passion Week, the first Passion Week. There will be singing and celebration, and as Jesus went in, the people said, "Hosanna," which is, "God save us." Hosanna. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, which is, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Baruch is blessed. Haba is he who comes. B'shem is the name. Adonai, I just don't want to get into speaking in tongues here. So I'm interpreting myself. Not that I mind people, you know, as long as they interpret it. Jesus was joyously welcomed by adoring crowds as he entered Jerusalem. Tradition says he entered on a Sunday. Before 4 days are out, we have a different scene. 4 or 5 days are out, and it's Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And we see Jesus, the Jesus that was welcomed with all that celebration, hanging on the cross, brutally executed by Roman authorities, using the worst instrument of torture. After being flailed and bludgeoned by the worst kind of savagery. And we ask ourselves, and this is a reminder to us, or many of us here already know this, and it's a good reminder. And those who don't, I pray that God will open your eyes today. Why? Why did this happen? Who is this Jesus who was executed on that cross? It's always a good idea when you wonder what's happening, is to go back to the beginning. And the beginning is in the book of the beginnings, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the Hebrew word, the heavens and the earth means everything. It's not just the heaven, the earth. It is everything. No bigger word can be, no bigger phrase can be found than Ether Shamayim, Va'ether Aretz, heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. There was no universe. There was nothing. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And in verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, and there was morning, one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters." Now, what's this word expanse? It's kind of an archaic word. Today we'll call the word space. "Let there be space in the midst of the waters." that is separate the waters from the waters. God is talking about stretching forth the universe. He created space, time. Prior to that, in the beginning, God. Before the beginning, God. Before the beginning, no universe. So time starts with God in the beginning. God is before. Kids asked me that I think it was Ben's kids asked Ben, and Ben asked me, how do we explain the eternity of God? Well, God was there was a before. Good enough? Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters. God made the expanse, space, and separate the waters which were below the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven. There was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Don't miss the significance of this. God created space-time. God created existence. That's one powerful God. God brought the universe into being by just saying, let there be. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place and let dry land appear. And it was so. So God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And this is a recurring theme. And God saw that it was good. God created the planet earth in which we all dwell. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, the trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a third day. Now let's not miss the significance of this. Each of those plants bore seeds after their kind. There wasn't chaos. There wasn't random mutations coming up. One day it was a plant that you can eat, the next day it's poison, whatever. God produced living plants, reproducing plants, filled with DNA, the code of life, with the complex, intricate mechanisms to be able to convert light into starches, into food. Now that is not an insignificant thing. All by accident? Really? You got more faith than I do. Then God said, I'll read that anyway. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day, that's the sun. And the lesser light to govern the night, that's the moon. And he made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth, to govern the day and night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. There was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Now, somebody did this. Flipping for me, excellent. Okay, did you miss that little thing that was sort of kind of snuck in there? He made the stars also. As though, you know, by the way, I made the stars also. By the way, how many stars are there? Our current estimates are 10 trillion trillion stars. That's 10 to the 25th power. That's 10 followed by 25 zeros, or 1 followed by 25 zeros. That's a very, very big number. So big we can't put our arms around it. So let's try to figure out what this means. Now, how fast can you count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe I can do 5 counts a second, right? You can do 5 counts a second. Without taking a breath, if I keep it up for one whole year, I can count 157,788,000 stars. Ooh, fantastic. But that doesn't even make a dent in 10 trillion trillion. Our national debt does not make a dent in 10 trillion trillion. Now, if we could count nonstop without taking in breaths, do it 5 times a second, it would take 6.5 billion people on Earth today. 9,750,181 years. I like to play with calculators, you can tell. Just to complete the count of 10 trillion, trillion stars. So it's not insignificant. And yet, and he made the stars also, by the way. And each star is an incomprehensible store of nuclear energy. We can't even put a number to the amount of energy stored in those stars. And God says, I made the stars also. Now that is power. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. God saw it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, fill the waters in the seas. Let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Living, reproducing animals, rich with the stuff of life in them, with the unique, essential code of life in every living cell to reproduce every living cell in order that every living cell can reproduce every living organ. And by the way, what's the answer to which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Yeah, right. We have an argument over that. I believe it's the chicken, by the way. Because God created the fowls, it says. They didn't say God created the eggs. The eggs come next. But that's a moot point, right? Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beasts of the field after their kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the field after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. God saw it was good. Reproduction after its kind. It's all orderly. It's all worked out in eternity. Not some random muck. And God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We're not the vermin of the planet. We are the kings of the planet. It is our responsibility to watch the planet. It is not our responsibility to worship it. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I could go for an hour with that one. That's not the time and place. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed on the surface of all the earth, every tree that has fruit yielding seeds. It shall be food for you. Remember, he created the ability to take sunlight and turn it into food. And every beast on the field, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. So we know of the Creator God. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And then we know the scripture tells us that God rested, kind of took a step back and watched the beauty of what he made on the seventh day. Now, what has that got to do with Jesus and the Passion Week? John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to being through him. And apart from him, nothing came to being that has come into being. Talk about a comprehensive statement there. Nothing came to being that has come into being. That leaves everything out. or everything in, depending on how you look at it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten, one and only, unique one from the Father, full of grace and truth. And another passage, Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, that is, the one who inherits, the one who owns all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth. Once again, the big picture, heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Leaves nothing out. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. That's one mighty powerful statement, I think. What does it say? Jesus is the Creator, is what it says. As to what's the relevance to who entered Jerusalem on Passion Week, it was the Creator Himself. Jesus, the Creator. Now, the Creator, when He created the universe and put the first man and woman on the planet, He had one simple law. It's a real simple law. From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Now this statement tells in loose interpretation, loose paraphrase, it just says, trust Me. You don't need to know something, trust Me. And what did our first parents, our first ancestors do? The serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. God is a liar. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Really, you can be like God to create all that stuff? Not close. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Okay, God said, no, some things you don't need to know. Trust Me. I'm smarter than you, God. I'm going to evaluate for myself. I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to do what I want. You know what that is? That's cosmic treason. And it's punishable by death, and you're warned. Cosmic treason, punishable by death. God should have wiped them out. But God instantly provided the solution to their problem. Somebody else, something else, died in their place. God made garments of skin, the first sacrifice. And Adam and Eve, who had never seen death, saw this animal bleeding for their sin. It was a picture of what's to come. Cosmic treason, punishable by death. Scripture also tells us, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread upon all men, i.e., humanity inherited death. Of course, we don't believe that. We are good people, aren't we? We got new rules. We got the 10 simple laws. You know what they are? The 10 Commandments. I paraphrase them a little bit to make it sound a little more modern. So, are you a good person? How do you know if you're a good person? Can you measure up to these things? Let's start with number 9. What does number 9 say? Do not lie. Okay. Have you ever lied? Have you ever told a fib? Have you ever told something to escape consequences? Well, that's lying, because that's telling false witness against your neighbor. So what does that make you if you do that? By the way, I don't just do that once in my life. I probably do it every other day, maybe every day. I catch myself sometimes, but sometimes I deliberately do it, and I bet you guys are in the same boat, right? So what does that make us? It makes us, yes, liars. And then we look at number 8. You shall not steal. Have you ever taken something, even a small thing? Sometimes accidentally, but sometimes on purpose. Sometimes accidentally on purpose, huh? Have you ever taken even a small thing? Of course you have. You just told me you're a liar. Okay, let's go to something more serious. Number 7. Do not engage in sexual activity outside of marriage. Oh yeah, we don't do that. We're clean as far as that's concerned. But what did Jesus say? If you think about it in your mind, you've committed it already. You know, those hunky guys in the beach, oh, then those cool babes and the accoutrements, may I call that that? And then we go into the imagining, and then we go into the fantasizing. So we have committed adultery in our heart. How about number 3? Number 3. Do not use my name loosely or frivolously. I think Americans, we tend to do that real bad. We use the name of God as a cuss word. That's really frivolously. He's God, and we just throw his name out as though, you know, it's garbage. So how did you fare? By yours and my own admission, we are lying, adulterers, blaspheming thieves. How do we stand before the God who's going to judge us according to those rules? If we were to judge according to those rules, how would we fare? That's only 4 out of 10. We can go on all day. What happens if you die in that state? If you have to face your Creator as judge and jury, what would happen? There were 10 simple laws. We would have committed cosmic treason, punishable by death. Are you guilty? Are you innocent? Humanity lived, walked, practiced, and continued in the ways of death. Cosmic treason, punishable by death. But God instantly provided the solution. That's the second picture in the beginning of Passion Week, at the end of Passion Week. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ. Just think, if you are a believer and you've already assimilated this into your life, you accepted Christ, just consider what it costs. What it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Jesus Christ did not come to make bad people good, or even to make good people better. He came to make dead people live. Now, this is your move now. Jesus, the Son of God, was sent here to die on the cross in your place. That was God's move. Jesus provided a sacrifice for you. And I'm speaking to the ones, perhaps, who have not received him. I pray that God's opening your eyes to this. I pray that God is giving you the insight, the grace to see, to understand. But if you do, then, please, today, don't just walk away. Don't just ignore it. Make your move. Repent. Turn away from your life of cosmic treason and come to Jesus for forgiveness. It's your turn. What will you do about Jesus? Lord Jesus, Creator of the universe, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's all that's required. And those of us who have received this gift, it's a good reminder of what it means to have our sin, to see our sin hung upon him on that cross. So who is he who was on the cross? Christ Jesus, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, did not have to assert his authority and his equality with God, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name Yeshua, Jesus, every knee will bow. That is, every knee in creation will bow, agree or disagree, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, the knees of everybody. Every tongue will confess that Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus, the chosen one, the Christ, is Adonai, is Yahweh, is God, to the glory of God the Father. I hope you understand the import of that in your heart. If you are a believer, how do you regard Jesus? Or if you haven't been a believer, do you realize your sin? And who paid the price for you and brought you forgiveness? And God opened your eyes today to see this. Please do not leave until you settle it with him. But if you are a believer already, remember the price. Remember who it is that was hung on that cross. He, one word from his mouth created light. One word from his mouth created time and space. And he did not open his mouth for you and for me. And when you pray, we all are taught to pray in Jesus' name. And sometimes it becomes rote, you know. And I'm guilty of that. We just pray, and okay, so that's how we pray. When you pray, do you realize you are using the name of the Creator and the Redeemer? The most powerful being in the universe and outside of the universe, because he started off without a universe. He was outside of the universe. He's the most powerful being that ever existed or will ever exist. So when you pray and you say, in Jesus' name, do we understand the import and the gravity of what we're saying? Now, you and I, we despair in circumstances of life. We have a tough time living this life. And we wonder, how can we go on? And sometimes we have thoughts of terminating it early. Sometimes we have thoughts of walking away. All kinds of different thoughts. And then we have societal problems. Right now, it's very easy to despair. I'm sorry to say it. Every week I get tons of emails and they don't look very good. The country is going into destruction, into evil. Evil is being celebrated in this country, and we despair, and we will say, this is disgusting, Lord. This is discouraging, Lord. And God has this to say to us: I am the Creator. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And the one who said, let there be light, said that. May we be able to go away this week and think about these things and be able to say that, Hosanna, Baruch Haba, B'Shem Adonai, in the meaningful meaning in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Creator of the universe, King of the universe, we thank you for showing a bit of yourself to us today. We ask that you open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, that we may behold the wondrous things that you have done and the wonderful, unspeakable glory of who you are. And Lord, let's take it away from here. For those, Lord, that you have spoken to who have not heard before, for those who finally had a light in their life, Father, I pray that you may draw them to yourself, that they may settle with you today. And for those of us, Lord, who have been blessed with this privilege, we pray, Lord, that you would remind us of what a grand, grand privilege that is to be associated, indeed to be children of the living God, to be joint heirs with Yeshua, the chosen one. Lord, as we dismiss from here, we ask your blessing in the name of the greatest being in the universe, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for coming. If you have any questions, I'm here.